Hey, good afternoon. It's the Finger Lakes Board Sports Podcast brought to you by Rochester Wind Sports and the good folks here at FingerLakes1.com. Welcome back to the show. I'm your co-host, Doug Willard, along with my other co-host, Jason Gordon.
Good afternoon.
To see you, Jay. We're back in Seneca Falls. Sunny day. We had a nice ride down together. I've got two great guests coming up, but it's Wednesday, March 21st, and this podcast must be good luck because it's a little windy here in the Finger Lakes out of the south. Just windy enough to get some action, maybe.
Yeah, there are a couple guys out on Seneca right now, as a matter of fact.
Exactly. So check them out after checking out the podcast. Anyways, today we got a bit of an unplugged show, an unscripted show of sorts. You're probably saying to yourself, it isn't often scripted, but yeah, this is a well-oiled machine, and don't discount the fact that the planning we do, it's well choreographed. We have two great guests in studio today that will no doubt give us plenty to talk about in this unplugged, unscripted show. Well, unplugged aside from everything that's plugged, but we've got two great guests that are in studio. Like I said, the first one that I'll mention is a gentleman that's been windsurfing for a long time. His name is Rick Griffin. He's one of the big dogs of windsurfing in our area, and he's in the studio today. If it's blown too hard for most of us, it's blown just right for Rick. So he's here. We're glad to have Rick here. The other guests we have, we also like to welcome another regular from the local windsurfing scene, and he's a world traveler as well. We hope to pick his brain about his experience windsurfing and other around the globe, and that is windsurfer Bill Neese, and he's in studio with us today. He's a great spirit in our community, and he's a very unheralded creative writer as well. And so we'll dive more into that.
But no canine status, you know, not a big dog.
not a big dog. Well,
you know. A little puppy love. Okay, well, thank you, Doug.
You're on the porch. You're the
big, well, thanks a
the
lot.
Big dogs are on
the
porch.
That. Well, that's why the banjo. Porch.
So there's the guys.
So I'm the big dog because of weight, Bill?
Wow, this is excellent. Here we go. Amy Pollard
right
and Tina
right
Fey
out of
over
the
there.
Gates. Right out of the gates.
Well, it's good. It's good to be here, guys. I watch your podcast, and I'll tell you, it's you do a great job, and I often say to myself, where does the skill come from for these guys? I laugh. It's informative, and I think you're doing a great job for the board sports, water sports, wind sports community. I love
it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Nice job. Thank you very much, Rick. Bill, do you want to give us a compliment at all?
I look forward to watching one of them one of these days. Oh. And I would like to, if I may, right now, get out of the way, you know, say hi to Mrs. Willard, Doug's mother, who's probably the only one watching this. Hi, Mrs. Willard. How you doing?
Oh, I hope she is.
She's a sweetheart. I'm very loyal. Now, did they really film, Trailer Park Boys in the studio, or is that... is that just a rumor?
I don't know that one.
Okay.
There's a lot of great programming that comes out of Finger Lakes.
Sure,
a lot of great programming that comes out of Finger Lakes One, though. They've got Crash Course. There's all sorts of orange stuff that they do here. There's some friendly Italians, I know, that do some cooking. And I've checked it out. It's funny. The Lake to Lake girls, they're easy on the ice, but I didn't say it. No, but they go back and forth. A lot of good programming here. We're glad to be part of it. Okay. But we got a good review from Rick there about the show, and a couple of things that we've heard from the community out there is, hey, you guys talk about a lot of this stuff, and, you know, we hear your terms, we hear your words. What about, you know, can you put some pictures up there, something together so that the people that are hearing what you're talking about and don't know quite what to a visual to put to what you're talking about, could you put something together? And actually, we've done that. We'll try something out here. I've got a little video, about 2-minute video that I put together, we've got windsurfing boards, a variety of different windsurfing boards that from beginner to advanced to multi-purpose boards in this video. And if we could watch it now, I guess it would probably start some discussion here in the studio and give some people that check out the podcast a little something to think about. So we've got that video. If we roll that right now, and hopefully enjoy the video. Hey, Doug Willard here from Rochester Wind Sports in Rochester, New York, located near the lovely Finger Lakes of New York State. I'm going to talk to you about windsurfing boards today, and I've got a lot of options laid out here behind me, from beginner to advanced. The first one I want to look at and talk about briefly
is actually not a windsurfer at all. This is a stand-up paddleboard, but often overlooked. They make a lot of stand-up paddleboards that you can insert a mast onto and use it as a stand-up paddleboard and as a windsurfer. A lot of versatility there. This board's 10.5 feet long and right around the shape and size that you would use for learning windsurfing. They do stand-up paddling okay. They do windsurfing okay. That's an option. Don't overlook it. Immediately right behind me is a starboard start. This is the way learning boards have gone over the past decade. This board is very wide, and it's fairly short, right around 8.5 feet. A lot of buoyancy in its volume, and it's got a soft deck to help make it soft when you learn how to windsurf and if you fall down. It has options for foot straps, and it's great for learning young kids to adults. Next, as you progress, we're moving on to more of a moderate wind, moderate high wind windsurfer for kind of free ride riding, it's called. It's wavy, you're getting going, you're planing. You're on top of the water, you might even be in the straps. That's about a 115-liter board for kind of all-around cruising. Great for a lake like Canandaigua Lake or Lake Ontario. Good board for anywhere from a sail size from 5'8" all the way up to 8'5". The last one on the left is a high wind windsurfer. That is a bump and jump windsurfer. A lot of flexibility and maneuverability in that board. That's a 95-liter Fanatic board, and that's a board that I use when the winds are really going and I want to be able to turn and slash, much like surfing, hence windsurfing. It's great at jumping. It's built durably and quite light. The reality is I don't get a lot of days on that board on the end. The most I windsurf is on this 115-liter board. Well, anyways, I got to go play in the playground back there. See you next time.
So there it was, you guys. Nice job. You want to pan that video? Thank you very much. That is the backyard to the world right there. Mm-hmm. And it was a little bit windy that day. But I threw that together, kind of answering what some people had said, and it was a good observation. I don't know if you have any feedback. It probably starts some discussion. Rick and Bill, you guys have been doing this a long time. Windsurfing. I mean, you guys have equipment similar to that, right? Some of it?
Yeah, I'd just like to jump in as you did the progression of the beginner boards down to the high wind board. And boy, back in the mid-80s when I got started, there's just one style of board. They were difficult to balance on, difficult to learn on, and I'll tell you, you had to stay at the sport. Now, with, like you mentioned, the Ghost board, that thing you could take. I've done it before with my kids' friends. You take them, you give them some instruction, you set them up on the board, and next thing you know, they're actually windsurfing and moving with the wind across the water. Quite easy to do so.
It happens pretty quick. Bill, when you started, what did you start windsurfing on, though, so when you started? What's your history in windsurfing?
Yeah, that's a good question. Actually, it was a Fanatic B64. It was a little bit of a tippy board. It wasn't as accessible or as easy as some of the modern boards. And that's the only thing I would mention, though, is when people talk to you and they had an experience like 10, 15 years ago or longer that they tried the sport and they just were so frustrated that they walked away from it. You do try to explain to them that the technology has progressed enough that it's a lot easier to learn it and a lot less frustration. And that is kind of an important dimension of the sport that, you know, hasn't been really, you know, explained to the general public, certainly around here, upstate.
Well, and Jay, I mean, we're lucky to keep Jay in the wind. Jay mentioned on a previous podcast that you started as a windsurfer and you wanted to do more with, you know, in the wind. You were kind of stuck. You weren't getting the wind you wanted. I don't know if it was the equipment, but you weren't getting on the water like you wanted to. Is that?
Yeah, it was a frequency thing. I mean, a half dozen or dozen times a year was just not enough. And speaking of the era of the equipment that folks were starting on, I started on some of Fran Long's and Lynn Davis's old boards, probably early 90s, maybe even late 80s. C-Trend.
Oh, yeah, wow.
10-foot board
so
I had.
So good boards they were.
And I was able to get semi-proficient. But I'm kind of curious to ride some of the modern gear and see the difference.
It's available, you know. Yeah. And, you know, we've mentioned Canandaigua sailboarding before. for windsurfers as a place to go give it a shot.
Yes.
And you know, I know they've got certified instruction down there and equipment that's going to go with the right way with beginners. But yeah, I mean, so that's good. So you guys, you know, we'll get more into talking about equipment. Rick, how long have you been a windsurfer? How did you get into windsurfing? How often do you get on the water? Tell us about you.
Well, it was a friend of mine from college, and that friend lived on Cayuga, or lived by Cayuga Lake. And so he ended up getting some gear, but I invited him to get back together with each other. We'd often get together, and we'd meet in Canada at my parents' place. And so he had this windsurfer, and of course I gave it a try, and through all the cursing and trying to pull up, fall down, it's like, I gotta get this. Mm-hmm. So that was the start. And then once you go and you start going your first 20 feet, and I've heard you say it before, Doug, you get hooked. So finally, you know, I got over the edge and I bought myself gear in 1986, and we had a very strong windsurfing community back then. I went through some old stuff and I found a list. They had a Rochester Sailboard Club, and I looked at the member sheet in 1990. There was over 90 people in that club. So if you weren't even in the club, you wonder how many windsurfers were around then.
Yeah, sure.
I looked at that same list. Look through that list. There's 9 people that are currently involved in windsurfing sports from that community back then in 1990. And 7 of them are windsurfers, and 2 of them are kiteboarders at this time that are still in the Rochester area.
Well, we can sit and, you know, what happened. We've added guys like Bill to the show.
We added
to the community.
We added you to the community.
Well, that's right. You did. There was that parole incident.
Shh, that's on the DL.
I do appreciate
not
that.
Not anymore.
Too. Yeah.
No, right. but you know, but Bill, you what got you started windsurfing? Did you was it kind of a heyday thing? Like, I'm seeing people all over doing this, or was it you know, what got you going? Because you probably started, where'd you start in life? Midlife or early, you know, were you young in your early 20s?
No, not at all, actually. No, I'm sort of a latecomer. I've only been doing it about 15 years. And everybody approaches the sport from a different, you know, standpoint. You know, for me, it was kind of, most of my outdoor activities were running, triathlons, that kind of nonsense. And that's a lot of hard work. It's not as playful. It's not as spontaneous as windsurfing.
It doesn't sound like you at all.
No. I got over that period of my
Rick,
life.
What are you laughing at?
We set that aside. But, you know, I just wanted to change the pace. I always wanted to sail. And it's really hard getting a sloop on top of your car. So a friend of mine and I, we rented a board and, you know, played around with it. And we were brilliant. We didn't wear a harness, and we didn't put our feet in the straps or anything like that. So, you know, I was pretty much couldn't walk after the first incident. You know, like 25 mile an hour winds, and you get off, and you go, "Oh my lord, that hurts!" You know, and then you don't realize what you're getting involved in. But it, like Rick said, it's very addictive. There's something hard to explain to a non-surfer. The exhilaration,
very
when
difficult.
You just enter all of a sudden a whole new world.
Yep.
And the other nice thing about it is that sort of excitement and that sort of exhilaration and that feeling you get is consistent with as you progress. It's always in front of you because there's absolutely no limit to the sport. It's limitless in terms of, you know, learning the skills and all that, and pretty unique that way, and highly addictive for that, and really just a joyful, fun, playful, undefined sport. You know, there's nothing else like it. You know, you never know what you're going to find. It's never the same playground. You know, it's not like golf. You don't have to wear ugly shorts. Although most I would like to say this, most of us do wear ugly shorts. And yeah, sure, you know, if you get some of these guys out here.
Yeah, we do it by choice,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's right, exactly.
Well, you know, and
no clubhouse, that's another real good thing.
Mm-hmm. It's something about, yeah, right, no clubhouse.
And no greens fees, that's very nice.
Yep. Wind is free.
Yep.
Wind is free.
And that's been, is it a mantra? That's been a mantra for decades of you know, it is. It's free. You can
buy your
out
gear
it.
Once and go to it.
Yeah, you know, and it's just like how you go out and you howl in the wind, you know, sometimes you just, so through, well, you feel like, you know, when you watch people out windsurfing and more often than not, and kiteboarding, it's 15, 20 miles an hour. And it's sometimes tough, I think, for a new person to look at that and say, all right, I want to be there, but to understand that that's not where you're going to start. You know, it's not, I know how to fly a kite. I've flown a stunt kite or, you know, a trick kite like that. That's different. And balancing on a windsurfer on an ever-changing plane of water, that's a difficult thing too, which that starboard that was in, that certainly helps. Like Rick said, it's an island, and you've had people going in an hour windsurfing.
Less than that. It's just great to know. Now you got to swim after them and say, okay, I forgot to teach you how to turn around.
Well, there's still people learning to turn around. We're all still learning to turn around quite often and stay dry.
Bill mentioned about the sport that I like that explanation about the progression. You can still find and you can still have that yearning to just learn more. But, you know, if you're a snow skier or something like that, and you know, there's snow skiing is the same way. It's so broad. You could be a cross-country skier, and I guess you could say, you know, stand up and paddle or something to cross over there. But when you get more and more into the sport, you want more speed, you want the steeper slopes, then you get into the moguls, and we're the same way. I'm out there, I want more wind, I want, like Jason, you know, you're going to want the bigger waves, and that's the more challenge. But you don't have to do that on the Finger Lakes. You don't have to do that on your pond. I'm telling you, that first 20 feet of moving, you're moving along, and it's just the serenity of being on there.
Mm-hmm.
And the one unique thing about the snow skiing, maybe on the mountain, and the windsurfing out in the lake with the waves, is just imagine your moguls and your mountains moving, because that's what we're doing. So now we're putting another attribute in. That wave is moving across, and now you're trying to be in one conjunction with it rather than, okay, the mogul's there, I'm coming down, the mogul doesn't move.
The other nice thing is when you fall, not if you fall, but when you fall on the water, it's a lot more forgiving. And as I get a little older, I'm less tolerant of smashing my face on a mogul.
Yeah.
I don't mind smashing my face on the water.
You can try to make it last as long as you can. You know?
Fewer hard objects.
Yeah.
Yeah, this windsurfing is just open to all different types of people who and all different skill levels. You know, you don't need to be a pro, you know, to slam dunk a basketball. It's just, you know what? It's out there. Go out there and use it. This our area, we're so blessed with all different types of water conditions in the Finger Lakes, all within an hour's drive from wherever you're living. Choices are endless.
Yeah.
We are very lucky. Very lucky.
Well, you talked about Jay, not if you fall, but when you fall.
Mm.
And Bill has helped out with the, you know, he's again, the characters. Rick talked about the characters.
Fall a lot. Is that what he's trying to get at?
Let me get to it. He makes people laugh a lot and smile a lot. Right. Whether we're racing on the water or bobbing along in the water because the wind didn't like something we did and decided to quit. But, you know, Rick has even put together, Bill has put together some humorous video in the past. There's one that's, I think, called Rinsed at Hamburg, which is not his finest moment. But, you know, to understand the that it's not, it's certainly not an awesome time for Bill, but he shared it with the people that are out there in the wind. And having been there, I just sat and laughed and appreciated as poor Bill went out in big conditions because he was reaching to get better
with
at the sport.
With video.
And a helmet and a life jacket. And it's just, and he called it Rinsed at Hamburg, and he was, you know, so critical of himself, but you couldn't necessarily laugh and see the humor in it if it hadn't happened to you once or twice or a dozen times.
Mm-hmm.
And Rinsed at Hamburg was, you know, not your finer moment on a windsurfer, but part of the deal.
But my filmmaking debut, yeah. So, everybody likes to see the other guy. You know, that,
yeah. Oh, no.
That's kind that's of a good
one. Well, I love Ray. I mean, when I go with you, you know, I came into windsurfing in this area, you know, a number of years ago. One of the first people that I really connected with was you and Ken. And I think skill-wise and just attitude-wise, we were kind of at the same place. And you know, to this day, I still love flying around on the water with you. And you've been my partner we've gone to various we went to Lake Champlain last fall with Scott.
You guys went to Oregon.
The Gorge, yeah. So, and it's I wouldn't have found the friend I have in you if it weren't for windsurf.
Oh, no, that's been great. But, you know, now is Ken going to have a special two-hour session?
Eight.
inside joke.
But minimum eight.
You know, that's a funny thing, too, because it occurred to me, because the one thing about windsurfing is it's very individualistic. You're out there. There's no boundaries or definitions or expectations. You're competing with yourself. You're learning how to sort of join forces with everything around you. You know, the water's got energy. The wind's got energy. You don't need a lift ticket to give you the energy. Nothing's provided for you, which is great. It's sort of individualistic and exciting. It's just hard to describe unless you've done it. And yet, by the same token, on shore, it's a very, very social sport. And it's kind of a strange mix because it's odd. Because actually, if people have a really good session, a really good day, they're out there as individuals experiencing this stuff. And then you get back and all of a sudden now there's this understanding of, what you had that day. And, people can sort of just get all excited and the adrenaline's going, all this. And you share this, this common experience, and yet you didn't do it in common, really. And I don't know how many sports are like that. I don't know how much, simple pleasure and post-session excitement there is, after golf. Most golfers are going to be thinking of their game, their best game and all that. But windsurfer, sometimes if you survive a wicked day, like once Rick lured me out because I have a low IQ at Webster with, cliches like, you got to face your fears, Bill. I go, yeah, Rick, I like that. Yeah, that sounds good. I'll face my fears. So it's like, I was way
with
over
your
my
face
head.
First.
Oh, I know. It's these gnarly waves with, frowns on them and all that shit. And of course, Rick's out there dancing around, flying, just like he's,
that would be,
the Robin Ash of the air.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
That's Lake Ontario, what he's talking about. And yeah, but if you did get out there and you did witness what the conditions are like, and then you get back to shore, and
back to shore, my constipation was cured. I kissed the ground and I found religion. And Rick's known for proselytizing that kind of nonsense. I thank him for that.
Oh boy.
If I had been baited in there, I would have just stayed quietly.
But you've been back. You've been back.
I've been back.
Sale sign wasn't put up.
No, it wasn't. I've had near death experiences with Jimmy King several times.
Every time.
Every time.
You mentioned
Bill. I didn't know that.
Yes.
You mentioned just getting back to shore and sharing that with the individuals, what was happening out there. So what could be the worst thing that can happen after a glorious day on the water, great conditions, you had fun, you've got beta endorphins pumping all through your blood system, and then you spoil it by going to a party where there's absolutely nobody who's ever windsurfed.
Understand it
with doesn't understand windsurfing.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've got it all in my system, and I want to get it out, and it's just...
Gotta tell somebody.
Yeah, but I've been there.
It's unexplainable. You just, you're out in these conditions in the water where some other vessels could never be in that situation and survive, and you're out there on a 22-inch wide, 8-foot long piece of styrofoam and glass, and yet
in complete control.
Complete control and harmony. You're harnessing the wind. You're balancing on the water, and
it's nothing like
undescribable.
It. Yeah, it is.
So get out there, folks.
Sessions. A session, of course, being a time being on the water doing what you do. Who's been out lately? Jay, we talked on the ride down. Got your kite up on Seneca Lake.
Yep. Actually, not my kite. It was a few kites sent from Green Hat Kiteboarding, our friends over there in New Jersey. Sent up a couple demo kites. I got a chance to ride those last Wednesday in pretty crummy winds, actually, as far as Seneca Lake standards go. Kind of up and down and puffy. And there's a lot of debris in the water. The day before, we had, I think, 5 inches of rain in 4 hours.
Yeah, I was out there, and that was...
In Penyan.
Yeah, that was all about avoiding large six stones.
I saw a tree. I mean, literally a full-size tree floating by, and that could do some damage to you or your gear really quickly. It was an interesting session. I had these two demo kites were about one size bigger than I really needed for that day, considering the strength and the variability of the wind. But it was really interesting to get out and try those. Should I go ahead and talk a little bit about?
Do you feel like doing that? I mean,
sure.
It's been all windsurfing. So, what you got? Different makers of kites?
Yes.
Here, or what do you,
one
what
is
you
a Cabrina, which is a still a windsurfing sail manufacturer, and
Pete Cabrina used to be a world renowned pro windsurfer.
Yes.
He had the guts to change.
Yeah.
He went the way that changed, and that's good.
Yep. And the other brand is Best. The Cabrina is a Switchblade 9-meter 2014. It was an interesting kite to fly. I'd say two words to sum it up. Elevator up. Because I was going past another friend of mine, Greg Breakos. He was going by on his kite surfing rig, and I did this move where I do an ollie, which is you pop the board up, and I'm on a strapless surfboard, so I pop the board up, grab it with one hand, and then the other hand I pull the power bar to give you a boost, meaning a jump, and I hadn't gotten that much air in quite some time, and it just went straight up. He said it looked like I was on an elevator. So,
wow.
How high in the air did you get?
I think
you haven't been up there that high in a while.
Probably about 20 feet.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I've never been up there.
It was pretty good. Yeah. And that kite, it was like effortless. I mean, it just plucked me off the water and just straight up. And as far as the actual review of the kite, I'd say it's for someone who likes to have a grunty kite, something that's
so some power,
yeah, some power, pull. Some power, some not a finesse type kite like the other one I'm going to review is a little more, a little friendlier maybe. This one was unruly, I'd almost say. And granted, the wind conditions were pretty tough, so it was unruly in those conditions. They're same size kite, both 9-meter kites, but the Switchblade Cabrina flew a lot bigger, I guess you'd say.
You know, if there's anybody out there watching too, I guess it would be important to know what manufacturer do you typically ride on, knowing, so yep. perhaps understanding how those kites or that model of kite that you typically use might handle.
I typically my quiver of kites is a brand called Slingshot, and the model is the RPM.
Okay.
And
compared
to
baseline.
Baseline, my kite would have been not as unruly, friendlier. The boost was would not have been as good as far as jumping.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm getting a little older, and so I'm not looking to have a ultra grunty, unruly kite. And the other part of it is the style of riding I like to do. The majority of the sessions I seek are in the waves, and usually in higher winds, because that's our waves are wind generated.
So wave riding.
Yeah, wave riding. And so to have a really unruly kite in wave riding is not, with a strapless surfboard or any kind of board for that matter, is not the best scenario, because you don't want to get yanked out of your shoes if a gust comes along and you're right in the middle of a sweet turn on a sweet wave.
Sure.
You want something a little more finesse and a little friendlier. So this kite, if I think you're looking to do a lot of jumping and not necessarily wave riding, then that may be a good kite for you. Or if you're a bit bigger too, I'm only 160 pounds. So if you're a bigger guy who wants to have a little more grunt in the kite and a little more at the top end of the range of that kite, then that may be a good choice for you. The other kite is a Best 2014 TS 9-meter. And that was a lot more similar to the kite that I normally fly, the RPM. The one thing about that kite, the TS 2014, that I really liked was I've been working on this one move similar to what I explained earlier, where I ollie the board into my hand and pull the bar with the other hand and then float downwind and put the board back under my feet, land, and ride away. And that kite, it was the first time I had ever been able to do it so effortlessly, where me and the kite and the board as a system floated downwind, and I landed. I was able to just put the board back under my feet and ride away. And it was the most effortless version of that I'd done.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't know the mechanics of all of what the design. I can't get into the detail on that, but I will be doing a video review of both of these kites And that will be posted on YouTube or on Vimeo or both. And they're both are available at Green Hat Kiteboarding. Vadim is very well versed in the aspects of both of these kites and can help anyone with any further questions.
And that's in New Jersey, right?
That is, yes.
Yeah, which down is on fine. The shore. We don't happen to have a kite retailer around here, and so you have to do that. So it's nice to have a connection with somebody.
It is. And he's super good at guiding people in the direction of their style and what they may need. So.
And you're a good advocate here because you know the different areas and the different waters and can also help direct an individual on what type of kite they need.
Try to.
For this area, sure.
Yep, yep. Real quickly on in regard to both of these setups, the setup is a kite bar and lines. And so when you rig, if you don't know the arrangement, you rig a kite, you hook up lines that connect it to the bar, and then the bar connects to you. And so the other part that when someone's assessing the rig as an entire unit, you want to consider the bar and lines as well. And I was really pleased with the best bar and lines, and without going into too much detail, the simplicity of it. It has an above the bar depower, which is a clam cleat, which is very simple, and that worked well. The other thing I liked is when you loop the kite, it can twist the lines, and it has a swivel below the bar where you can untwist the lines manually. Each time you loop the kite, you get one twist, so you want to undo that so it doesn't get too twisted. So that was really nice. I liked that a lot about the best bar. And then the Cabrina bar, I can't say a whole lot that I liked about it. It's a different beast. It's really, I won't say over-engineered, but it's highly and heavily engineered, and it's got a lot of gizmos, and they just do things differently. Okay. Cabrina, not my style. Some guys love it. It's good stuff, but it wasn't my favorite.
Yeah, but you certainly mentioned. I mean, you it's good to know in a review you can get something that's perhaps critical. But you know, you mentioned some good things about that kite as well. So
yeah,
I look forward to seeing your gear review. For the folks at Green Hat and kiteboarding.
Yeah, looking forward to get a proper 9-meter session so I can get some video of some of what I talked about, and get out in a proper 9-meter day.
Nice. And, you know, back to our guests and then tying them in with something that isn't their first water sport. Both of you guys, Bill and Rick, have both kind of dabbled or tried parts of the kiting, whether it's on land with a kite, just flying a kite that somebody's forced you to take, Bill. Or, I mean, even Rick, you've been curious to see, you know, you love getting out there. And I think you've wondered, can I keep, you know, windsurfing and perhaps find something that might extend my water time? You know, what have your opinions been related to kiteboarding?
Well, I have played around with kiteboarding back almost 10 years or more, and I had a kitemare on my first trying to put a kite up on land. It was my first day of vacation, and I ended up getting dragged across the ground, and so I had missing skin from elbows to toes. Ooh. So it's like, great, I'm on vacation and now I'm full of gauze. But I just respect the sport for what it is. And somebody's supposed to help me. I bought some gear, and he sold me his kites, and he said, hey, I'll help you set it up. But that's beside the point. But, you know, Rick and kiting, this would be Rick and kiting right now. You know, it's like... Yes, I'm good in trees, but me and kites, I don't know. But seriously, I've done it a number of years down in Hatteras, which I've not been there in 2 years now. But my last time that I was down there, I was very successful. Dick Miller had given me plenty of instruction, and we put kites up that he owned, and I had... I think it was Lynn Davis's board as a rental, and boy, it clicked, I got very excited, and went down to Real Kite and bought myself a board, and I said that's over 2 years ago, and that board has got 2 years worth of dust in my garage. Mm. But I need to get over the fear. I need to get over just learning something new. I just know the development that I put in windsurfing over the years. And when I got into something, I put all my heart and soul into it. So
To me, it says something that, I mean, 10 years ago, you had that issue that you had. And the sport, it says something that you were able to go down and with some instruction, which, you know, we had Brad on last month talking about the teaching he's doing at FLX Kiters. And the gear has come a long way, and it's safe. I mean, Jay, it's safer now than it's
absolutely
than it's ever been. But that you purchased a kite. You liked it enough to invest.
Yeah, and I actually have kited on the ice in Irondequoit Bay with ice skates. And I'll tell you, I asked Jay a question one day on the phone. I said, hey, what do I do to turn the kite? Because I'm going across the water, the ice, and I got a very accomplished ice skater so that skating's not an issue. I said, how do I turn the kite? Because now I got to slow myself down on the skates because I'm going so fast. He says, well, there's thing called a kite loop. You got to loop the kite. And it's probably one of the most dangerous things you can do on water, but I'll tell you.
That's one kite, way of doing it.
The kite looped, and it's brought me through my turn and back the other way I went. And I was like, that is so cool.
Yeah, I was there that day. I remember seeing, or one of those days that you did that, and remember seeing you do that.
How much weight did Brad lose on the last show, by the way? You know, he was in that dry suit.
In the dry suit?
For the entire show. It's I got to drop this big dog.
Well, see, the funny thing is this. Whatever fluids, think of it as a dry suit, it's a bag. Whatever fluids as a system, you know, with the bag that he's wearing.
Still in a Ziploc bag.
Still in a Ziploc bag. So if he was sweating or anything else for that matter.
You guys are in board shorts right here. And it's like he's in a dry suit.
Yeah. No, he was demoing his new suit.
Yeah.
So he really likes it.
He dove right in.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, but, it was good.
Bill, you had Pharmacy Bob. You know, we've got all sorts of names for people. He, another guy who's helped out a lot of people. So a couple of his boards that a starboard start that I had in that video earlier was, he's, you know, really spread the love and trying to get people interested, whether it's teaching people windsurfing and in kiteboarding. And you have a relationship with him. And I know you borrowed a trainer kite that he had sometime, you know, and you're up for, you know, fun and some good laughs, right?
Yeah, the latter, laughs, right. I did borrow the trainer for a summer, and
I got scared.
I got scared because you started telling me you were... I like the Linus thing. Yeah, I'm not going to the dark side. I'm not going on the dark side.
I go out on the lake and see all these
puppets out there on strings and that. You know, the one thing I was like...
Oh, Jay's pumping out his chest.
I like it.
I need to be Judge Judy here. I roll for the play.
I'm going to use the puppet.
What do they call themselves again?
I'm
not sure what they're called.
They call us sharks, and we're dangerous.
Sharks and puppets.
Yeah.
I like that. Oh, so anyway.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, anyway.
Should we play the disclaimer? our guest disclaimer?
Let me just say one thing about the
kite. We're going to destroy the studio.
I will say one thing about the kiteboarders, and I mean this too, is a lot of times I'll go out there and they're my only company. I've been to Seneca many times when it's just, you know, this cadre of loyal, dedicated kiters, and I'll just be out there one or two guys. So, I mean, their camaraderie and their dedication to the sport, I admire it. And I'm looking forward to seeing them going more than 100 yards offshore. Yeah. It's going to happen someday.
But they don't have to, though. That's a good thing for you
guys.
No, they don't have to.
You guys get the clean win that's up. This is all jealousy.
Well, that was one of my comments was going to be is that part of why you see us out there more is because we can get out there more with
exactly.
less wind. We can have a real session at 12 knots.
I would be the first to acknowledge that. Yeah, absolutely. No, that's the big advantage. Time on the water is no comparison.
Yeah. You know, any way to get out of the
you
know,
the grind.
As an accomplished windsurfer, Doug's got all those boards, and I've got one because I'm just going for those 25-plus-mile-an-hour days. Mm. Here, it's far and few between. And not only that, but, you know, you can't have your daughter's wedding on that day that it happens, or you got funerals.
Back to something else you were saying, is that when the wind is blowing, you want to do something you know how to do. If you're only going to get a handful of sessions a season or a couple handfuls of sessions, you want to go out and do it. You don't necessarily want to take the time on a 15 knots or better day to go mess around with a kite.
Yeah.
So the proficiency
thing. Great observation. So for anything, not just windsurfing.
But there are those days below 15, so we'll get that. We'll get those out.
Clearing the schedule.
Yeah.
But what else? Rick?
What do you like?
You brought some stuff in. Yeah, we got that coming up. That's right. What do you like coming up?
You want to do the one, what do you like, or do you want definitions? What do you want
What do you
do?
Got? Well, you brought some stuff in here. Rick's got an assemblage of equipment, again, kind of going along with the video that was shown earlier. Perhaps, what do you have there? The first thing you can see.
First thing what we got is we've got the harness, okay? You see a lot of these guys out there, both the kiters and the windsurfers. And the windsurfers use this harness, and it's wrapped around your waist, and there's this little hook. So what that does is we've got your pan back. We've got the windsurfing boom. Doug's going to give me help here. So this boom is what attaches to the mast, but here's what that harness hook hangs on to. Now you sit down in this harness when it's around your waist, and that helps you hold the strength of the wind. And then you do your steering with your hands. And the interesting thing is when you're going out there to learn, all this stuff is gone. They don't want you to be complicated with this. So you're tired, you're exhausted. Yes, but once you get over that hump of knowing where you're going and use the harness, now you are just, it's a free ride, and all you're doing is steering. So you can make your 45 minutes of windsurfing, you could change that to 4 hours of windsurfing. And it's quite an invention. With kiting, the bar is connected to the harness, and they have some other safety factors for a release. With us, you just shift your hips forward and get that off of the hook. But definitely holds all the weight, allows you for a much, much longer time on the water and enjoyment.
Excellent. Excellent. What do you love? What do you love? So we have a segment we started last podcast, the What Do You Love segment. And Jason, what do you love?
Well, Bill brought this wonderful little... Banjo
so you've
here.
Got you guys are both sharing the love on that one.
Oh, are we sharing it?
Well, no, I don't know that it's his thing to love, but he loves it too. Love that's it? Why I brought it. No,
No,
it's here. Let's hear it.
It's a nice little American-made banjo. I'm a guitarist. I'm not a banjo player, but
I was bouncing in the waters of Seneca Lake, and I saw my buddy across the water, going to see if I can catch him, flying in the water, windsurfing, kiteboarding. There we go. It's improv. Told you it was unplugged. It's unplugged.
It's going to be unplugged. All just, across the internet.
Disconnected.
State.
Is the internet still
That's
up?
It.
Did we just break it?
I think so.
We broke it. I love it. I'm buying one. I'm getting it.
That's all right. So you told me, I'm at work. I get a text. Bring something you love.
Okay.
Oh, great. Thanks a lot. So I brought this because, a lot of people in life.
Hold up a little bit
minor,
more.
Minor challenges. Where am I? Where?
There you go.
Okay. Wait. Basically, it's a brace. Now, this is more of a universal human thing. Sometimes things happen to you that set you back. So about 3 years ago, I had nerve damage, my peroneal nerve, and I lost mostly all control of my left foot. Not sideways, not up and down. And I thought I'd have to give up windsurfing. So all you people out there with, it's called foot drop. We have a setback like that, never give up. So I eventually found this, this is kind of a severe ankle brace, and by Cialis company. Now, when I started wearing it, I could return to, windsurfing. And it meant everything to me, because when I first started windsurfing with this condition, I couldn't do anything. There's a fair amount of force. When you put your foot in a strap, you're getting, thrown all over the place. And this let me get back to this, the sport. And I'm known in our circles as, One Foot Willie. Which is coincidence because that was my stage name in Amsterdam.
Told you he's a world traveler, ladies and gentlemen.
And like I said, this Cialis, ankle strap, allows me to be there when the timing's right, keeps my foot up.
I remember when that happened, Bill. The guys were like, wow.
That was terrible. I was out.
We're tight. We're close. We only get together max
So yeah, everybody out there who's had some sort of bizarre handicap setback, just keep plugging away. Just look at it. Just keep trying because, you know, once you get past it, it's really gratifying.
It's doable.
You know, to be out there now, actually, it's one of the freest things I do now because of this. You know, you're dancing, you're joyful, you can fly off the, you know, waves and all this stuff, and so like you're leaving all that, those limitations and stuff behind, and it's especially pleasurable for me. Very thankful.
When I was in the gorge, probably somewhere around the late 80s, that's Hood River, Oregon, there was a guy with a prosthesis, and he's out there windsurfing, and the guy had one leg.
Wow.
And the other one was made out of plastic.
Well, the guy in Buffalo has that.
I've heard people talking to him too. He's a ripper.
He is.
So, I get the same text message: bring something you love, you know. And it's just like, well, so when I was shopping last night,
sprouts.
I brought this.
Did you love?
These are bean sprouts. I love bean sprouts. What do you, any of you guys like bean sprouts?
Oh, absolutely, love them. Oh, sandwiches, salads.
Yeah,
get
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Power these, your day with them.
These things.
Put it in a smoothie.
The checks in the mail.
grown by spring
new
water
sponsor?
Sprouts.
Oh, somebody's calling right now about the sprouts. Okay.
1 foot Willie. That's
right.
What I love.
Endorsed, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rick. That's
okay, Doug. What do you love?
I love the relationship that I have with the four guys right now in the studio.
Good stuff.
And that stuff's going on. I'm loving my wife right now. No, actually, I've got a lot of people around me that, as you guys do as well, that really embrace that we windsurf and accept the unscheduledness of it sometimes. And I just celebrated a birthday, a milestone birthday, and my family, be it my parents, my sister, gave me. I'm learning to love. This is a GoPro Hero 3 nice. Point of view camera. That I'm learning the ropes with, and I already enjoy it. I had fun making a little thank you video card of my daughter going for a hike in the woods. But I love this stuff because this enables me to be able to share it, like Bill has. Rick has been a subject of so many great photos because he's so good at what he does. Jason, you're doing a great job sharing the. Visually what we do, and I think that's a part of it. So I'm really loving this GoPro camera. I've had it for about a week and a half. And
there's a picture of somebody we know.
That Bill?
No.
that's
Lake Ontario at its finest. You can do a lot out there, and fortunately I had somebody that had equipment that could actually reach where things were happening. The waves being tall, the wind being strong, and you just go off of it and go for a fly. And you know, some people say, "What happens at the end of that photo?" And oddly enough, you come down, you land on the water. But Jay, you know, you said you were 20 feet in the air, and everything goes quiet for that jump time. So we can be out there in the stormy seas and the wind, and you hear the water rushing over your board and stuff like that, and then you're into the air. And you get that moment of relaxation, silent, and as soon as you touch back down to the water, it's rattling
back
teeth, bouncing knees, and you're back to trying to manage now
survive.
The water portion of it. So, a lot of fun.
Nice.
Now, is that's a young Rick Griffin. Yeah, there's
only because you see the type of board that I'm on. You have
that same red style board. I do. I have that one. It didn't make it into the video, but
it didn't.
No, it should have. I love it. The old Mr. All Wave
red
board.
You know, the thing about the boards is now because those waves are there and things are a little choppy, you can't be on the 8-foot board or something to that length or the wider board. You need something that can turn and maneuver. Just like Jay was mentioning about that kite. He says there's the muscle kite for power and speed, and then there's the maneuverable one. But Doug, I brought you a gift.
You brought a gift.
Many
gift
gifts.
To the podcast. Okay.
Yeah, so it's a bag of
it's Pottery Barn bag. I always love opening.
It's some old windsurf memorabilia. Some magazines you might want to look through.
Fantastic.
This one's 1990.
Look at the color.
It's the Gorge Guide.
That's come back around, all that color. That is excellent.
Oh, yeah. These things are... So I got a number of them here. Somebody was selling his house, so he was moving. He says, hey, Rick, you want this stuff? And I said, I know who wants it.
So you got that's right.
That's your gift for today for having us. But Ed McMahon, I didn't bring anything for you.
Yes. That is correct.
Oh, good laughing. But and of course the sprouts were a thing that we're all thankful for. And with it pays the bills. Those spring water sprouts or Wegmans
definitely pays the bill.
Yeah, the bill.
The bill. 1 foot bill.
So that's the stuff we love. But I hope the guys, the couple folks that I heard that are out on Seneca Lake, I hope they scored in their session. And that reminds me of another thing I love. There's something that I think it was Doug, another Doug, mm-hmm. Kiting Doug, discovered, or perhaps Brent. Some of the kite guys, anyways, cooperated to find a phone app and an internet app called GroupMe
mm-hmm.
that I know that a number of us here are members of, and it's...
Can you guys sign me up on? Can somebody take the phone on the drive home and get me signed up?
Yeah, we'll sign you up for that.
Yeah.
So there, it's worthwhile. So that make that's 100% membership. The people here in the studio, all it simply is it's an SMS or a text service, right, Jay? Mm-hmm. I mean, can you describe? I mean, I brought it up, but can you just? I love it. Can you describe? I'm not as tech savvy, but it's you're going to go somewhere or you're.
I mean, the short and sweet of it is you sign up with an invitation from somebody who's already on. And then when the way we use it is if there's a wind to be had and somebody's going out to get a session, we just send a message out to the group where. And
it goes to one phone number, and one phone number then.
It distributes it to everyone on the list, and we give details of the location, direction, wind speed, and what kind of gear you're gonna use.
I love it.
So. Yeah, and it's actual stuff. So you know you're there. You're already put your equipment together, and you're gonna go out. And so before you go out, you share with everyone that's
that's the idea.
Hanging away at the office or washing sprouts, that they can know what's happening. That's good. I like that.
Yeah. Sometimes turns into a bit of a thread regarding. You know what people had for lunch and other stuff,
or that you're killing me at work with all these messages. I'm stuck at work and you guys are out
having fun.
Not that I don't love what I do, but you're out playing. So,
but it's worked really well. It's a replacement of the old wind line which Chuck Tangway put together back in the day, as I understand.
Yeah,
which has only in the past year or two, I think
about
gone
2 years. They just he went without a phone line, a home phone line, and so that's why that thing dropped off.
Yeah,
that was like many.
That's homes. How they picked it up. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
That's good stuff.
And in the early years, all we had, we didn't have the cell phones. All we had was a weather radio, and so you listen to the weather radio for the marine forecast, and that's what you had. You know, now I spend more time surfing the net for information than I do surfing the water. For God's sakes, you know.
Yeah. Well, sometimes when it's a long time between time on the water, seeing your buddies, that's either searching for weather on the internet or whatever. But hopefully, we'll be on the water a lot in the coming month.
Yeah,
I know I can't wait to get out with you guys. So
yes,
you know, it's I guess we've kind of reached the end of the show, you guys.
Yeah,
so
it's
good.
Yeah,
dry sea weather is just about over, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yep. I was on the 4.3 last week and quite comfortable.
Nice.
Still wearing a hood, though, because if you crash, the water's cold.
It's chilly. Well.
All right.
Bill Neese, thanks for being here. Appreciate making the drive down to lovely Seneca Falls, and it is.
Thanks, guys. You guys great guests.
Rick Griffin as well. Yeah, always, we've done this five times and had entertaining, great conversation, right?
It was fun.
Worth watching, I hope. Worth watching, I hope. So,
well, your mom watches it a lot, so definitely worth watching.
We get a lot of yeah. Thanks, you guys. We get a lot of views. we do. I thought it was you. I was giving you credit. So, you wake up with it. Some people choose to wake up with Matt and Katie and Al on the Today Show. Good morning, America. Good morning, Matt. Good morning, Katie. I thought maybe you chose to say good morning, Jay. Good morning, Doug. Good morning, Windsurfing America.
Oh boy, that's and, how I would define a snooze button.
Yeah. Oh, and so, without further ado, I'm going to talk over them, and we're at the end of episode 5 of the Finger Lakes Board Sports Podcast. And if you've liked what you've heard about, or you're curious about it, check the FL1.com website, and we've got a page there, and it also links to the RochesterWindSports.com webpage. And you know, you can perhaps get as stoked and excited as our two guests and Jason and I are on windsurfing and kiteboarding and stand up paddleboarding, and you know, not to neglect those things. So we'll see you next month in warmer water. So until then, for Jason Gordon, I'm Doug Willard. We'll see you out there.